Welcome to this Journey Through the Bible podcast on the subject of gender and dress code. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, that your word carries with it power and authority. Thank you that every evil force of darkness is bound in Yeshua's mighty name, and your Holy Spirit is released over this teaching. Why address this rather controversial subject of gender and dress code? Well, it is a topic which is important to God, and if it's important to Him, then it should be important to us as His children. When I was thinking of this subject matter, I really thought, well, I've bitten off a bit more than I can chew, but I just trust the Holy Spirit and thank Him for navigating the way through this teaching. Let me start off firstly by emphasizing the truth that each and every one of us, both male and female, are fearfully and wonderfully made in the very image of God Almighty. And because we are in Christ, in accordance with Ephesians 1 verse 4, which reads, "Just as in His love He chose us in Christ, actually selected us for Himself as His own, before the foundation of the world, so that we would be holy, that is, consecrated, set apart for Him, purpose-driven and blameless in His sight." The Lord Yeshua has already made us blameless. So what I'm about to share, please note, has nothing to do with physical attributes, but rather it's an encouragement to up our game as to how we are to present ourselves as Christ's personal representatives on this earth. The Lord does expect all believers to take responsibility for the care of our bodies and to make the most of our physical appearance, no matter what our individual needs might be, either financially or health-wise. Unkempt, scruffy Christianity certainly does not bring honor to the Lord of glory. He deserves far better than that. The Bible says very clearly in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 that every born-again child of God is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, who you have received as a gift from God, and that you are not your own property? You were bought with a price. You were actually purchased with the precious blood of Yeshua and made His own. So then honor and glorify God with your body. Although the scripture is making reference to issues of morality, it is also applicable to the Christian life in general. Each one of us is commanded to honor the Lord with our physical bodies. That includes getting rid of any addictions and making sure that we are clean and tidy and properly dressed in the correct attire, appropriate for men who are supposed to look like men and women who are supposed to look like women and not vice versa. There should be no confusion between the male and female gender, since 1 Corinthians 14 verse 33 plainly states that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. In line with this, Deuteronomy 22 verse 5 says, "A woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear woman's clothing, for the Lord detests anyone who does this." Now these are strong words, but the Lord gave this instruction to Israel through Moses for a reason, so that there would be no gender confusion. Since both men and women wore tunics in biblical times, the Lord was obviously wanting His people to dress in such a way that the men looked distinctly masculine and the woman distinctly feminine for a purpose. Today, in modern times, for example, both male and female of all generations often wear pants or jeans. Now, is this wrong? No, not necessarily, since the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage true freedom, and that's 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17. I sometimes wear pants or jeans for warmth and also convenience, but in doing so, I always try my best to look as feminine as possible. My preference is, of course, wearing dresses and skirts. Why? Because I want to represent Christ as a godly woman should in a feminine way. And of course, also to bless my husband because Graham appreciates me wearing dresses and skirts. Sadly, in today's society, there is a lot of confusion concerning gender, even in the church, where same-sex relationships, homosexuality, etc., have in some cases become acceptable behavior, and where the devil has distorted and perverted the minds of people. Now, obviously, God loves all people unconditionally, but he hates sin, as stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate by perversion, nor those who participate in homosexuality, nor thieves, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers, will inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God. The answer to all these problems are obviously found in the atonement or the redemption of Christ through his death and resurrection, which is made available to all mankind, but it's up to the individual person, both male and female, young and old, to make a choice to follow Christ, obviously if they have heard the gospel. Now going right back to the beginning, in the book of Genesis, God has provided a blueprint, his original design for mankind, that's both male and female, and it's found in Genesis chapter 2. For the purpose of this teaching, I'm only going to highlight a couple of verses, starting at verse 18. Now the Lord God said, it is not good, beneficial for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper, one who balances him, a counterpart who is suitable and complementary for him. My Bible footnote reads, in other words, his opposite. So you have male and female, husband and wife, for example, complementing. The wife is opposite to the husband. Okay, so, and then reading from verses 20 to 22, and the man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper that was suitable, a companion for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the rib which the Lord had taken from the man, he made, fashioned, formed into a woman. And he brought her to the man. Now, obviously, without going into too much detail, there was the fall of mankind. Eve was deceived by the serpent and Adam as well. It was a total fall of mankind. That's another story altogether. But the issue here really is that male and female were formed, obviously, for multiplication, because that's what the Bible says. The Greek word for female is actually the word telazo, meaning to suckle. Due to the hormonal makeup in woman, God has created the female gender with the physical ability to produce babies, as well as the ability to produce the milk to feed babies, something which men are simply not designed to do. Nor are men designed to give birth to babies. Otherwise, Adam would have had the babies. But no, Eve did. It's a physical impossibility for a man to produce a baby. Now, having said that, in Christ, obviously, both male and female are, of course, equal heirs because we have all been made a royal priesthood in accordance with 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Which reads, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a special people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies, the wonderful deeds and virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, male and female, there is total equality between both genders. But this teaching is not about equality. This teaching is about the obvious differences between the male gender and the female gender. How God originally made man and woman. There should be a big difference in the appearance of a male and a woman and boy and girl. There should be no confusion in that appearance. As far as femininity is concerned, 1 Peter 3 verse 3 teaches us that when a woman adorns herself with clothing, she should be elegantly and tastefully dressed, not overdone, but allowing the beauty of Christ to shine forth from the inside. And it reads as follows, your adornment must not be merely external, with interweaving and elaborate knotting of the hair, and wearing gold jewelry, or being superficially preoccupied with dressing in expensive clothing, but rather the beauty of a gentle and peaceful spirit, serene and spiritually mature, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now some might take the scripture out of context and suggest that women should not wear makeup and be plain and rather dowdy. This, however, does not bring glory to God, although, of course, there is no condemnation in Christ. A bit of makeup goes a long way to improving general femininity and appearance, and appropriate hairstyles, and nails included. The devil really has had a heyday concerning nails. Some of these artificial nails that some women wear today in modern society really look to me like talons. They look scary and they look dangerous instead of neat, well-kept, well-polished nails. I'm really not sure why some women wear nails like this, maybe for protection purposes. Who knows? Now, just concerning this word adornment, the Greek word there is kosmios, and it means orderly. In other words, decorous, of good behavior. Or another definition is the word modest, meaning to have good taste in manners and conduct. So that's from a woman's perspective, but also from a male perspective, Christ should be presented in such a way that everybody knows this is a godly man and a masculine man, so that it's not difficult for others to see and recognize if someone is a Christian or not. Now, of course, all of us are a work in progress. Every single one of us are God's workmanship, and we are being transformed from one degree of glory to the next. All of us dealing with our issues, etc., being healed, being delivered, etc., etc. But God wants us all to shine with His glory, to be those representatives, to shine with the light of Christ, so that the world can see that we are different as Christians. Going back to this whole area of clothing, the Lord Yeshua Himself taught His disciples about clothing. In Matthew chapter 6 and reading from verse 29, He said, I say to you, not even Solomon in all his glory and splendor dressed himself like one of these. And He was making reference to the flowers of the field. Now King Solomon was Israel's most wealthy king in the Old Testament, so much so that the Queen of Sheba is described in 1 Kings 10 verse 4 to 7. I'm not going to read all of that, but she was utterly overwhelmed, even breathless, due to the prosperity, wealth, and splendor of his palace and everything that went with it. Now Yeshua, being far, far greater than Solomon, assured his disciples that their heavenly Father would clothe them with the very best as long as they gave his kingdom and his righteousness first place in their lives. So in the same way, we, as modern-day disciples of the Lord Yeshua, of his followers, we must know that our Heavenly Father is very interested in that. If Yeshua himself taught his disciples and he was concerned about how his disciples were dressed, he is obviously very concerned about how we are to be dressed. And there are principles involved in the kingdom of heaven, as always, being a blessing, sewing clothes, giving clothes away, being a blessing in that area. There are principles, there are conditions, but God knows our every need. No matter where a person might be from a financial perspective, no matter what the circumstances might be, Our Heavenly Father is very interested in making sure that we are clothed well and in very good clothing, good quality clothing, because He cares for every detail of our lives. Concerning this subject of gender, it is so sad when the devil gets a foothold in people's lives and interferes with the truth of how God originally designed His blueprint for both the male and female gender. I will never forget a young boy who was obviously very confused about his gender, not being sure whether he was a boy or a girl due to incorrect, ungodly role models in his life. This young man came to a particular function, and I just noticed how he was dressed. I was quite shocked because there he was, as a boy, he must have been about 8 or 9 years old. He came with his sister and he was dressed in a fairy outfit, a little girl's pink fairy outfit. It was so sad to see that. You could see the obvious confusion in this child's mind. And no wonder, because his role models, his parents, as it were, when I say parents, I put that in inverted commas, because they were two ladies in a same-sex marriage. And you could see the one woman was obviously very masculine, dressed in very masculine attire, and the other woman in very feminine attire. And this young boy was so confused, because instead of having proper role models of a father and a mother, there he had the confusion of two women as his parents. How the devil has distorted and bound people into incorrect thinking. The counterfeit of the enemy is so sad. And we as the body of Christ in our local churches have the answer to setting the captive free, because the Lord longs to set the captive free. He longs for the church, His church, to be the answer to the problem. I just wanted to mention that because it is a pertinent subject. It is something that is very necessary to be addressed. The Lord Yeshua, I just wanted to mention, He dressed Himself so well that at His crucifixion, it's mentioned, I won't read it, but in John chapter 19, verse 23, His clothing, the soldiers that were involved with the crucifixion were wanting to cast lots for His tunic and His clothing that He was wearing because it was such good quality clothing. He dressed like the King that He is, the Messiah. So God is interested in dress code. He is interested in His children being dressed appropriately. And we too, as brothers and sisters in Christ, should take this into serious consideration. I also just want to mention here, as far as dress code is concerned, it is helpful just for the sake of general self-esteem and confidence. For example, if someone is struggling with depression, it is always a good idea to work on getting properly dressed each and every day, no matter how a person might feel. Making a decision to get out of bed and to dress and make the most of one's appearance is very important, and it is very helpful when somebody is maybe struggling with depression. It's a woman to put on that bit of makeup, to get dressed up, even if you're maybe a stay-at-home mom or working from home, whatever the situation might be. It's important to dress well, to make the most of one's situation. Finances shouldn't actually come into the equation here, because God provides in wonderful ways and inexpensive ways too. To be creative and improve one's appearance for both men and women does not have to break the bank, as it were. For good advice, there are many YouTube channels which are devoted to helping people with wardrobe planning. I've received many helpful hints on how to coordinate my clothing, both on the internet and personally. I had a friend who helped me with my wardrobe planning. Many years ago, she came and she helped me and gave me advice. And I also include the Lord in my wardrobe planning. I say to the Lord, "Lord, what would you like me to wear today?" And He helps me with my wardrobe planning. It's to bring the Lord into every aspect of our lives. He expects us, as men and women, to exercise wisdom in all the affairs of life. but it also includes being organized. It helps with time management as well, to be able to say, well, this is what I'm going to wear today for an appropriate occasion. And how God also supplies. I have many testimonies where the Lord has supplied for various occasions that I've needed to go and attend, and how God has supplied the necessary clothing. I'm going to end off with this scripture in conclusion, Romans chapter 14, verses 12 and 13, and it says, "So then each of us will give account of himself to God. Therefore let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother." In other words, ladies, skimpy little outfits do not honor God, and they are a stumbling block to a brother in Christ. Obviously, men must also be godly men and not blame the woman for everything. All of these things need to be taken into consideration. Wisdom is required when dressing in a godly manner. I hope and trust the Lord that this teaching, it is a vast subject, but I really hope that it has addressed and pinpointed some areas which would be helpful to those maybe who need some help in this area. Thank you, Lord, for this teaching. Just praise you and glorify you. And may all of those listening to this podcast be blessed in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.